Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to another edition of Believe in Giants. Bob Papa, two-time Super Bowl champion Carl Banks. So glad you can join us. It is time for another show. We're getting ready for draft season. Obviously, the run-up to the draft is pretty intense right now. There's a lot of poker that's being played as far as which team loves which player and so on and so forth. But there's diversionary tactics. There's still evaluations. I don't think anybody's clear on anything right now unless you have the number one pick and you're Caleb Williams. But I know there's a bunch of other things that you want to get off your chest right now.
Yeah.
With regards to the owners' meetings, rule changes, projections, and kind of where everything's headed in the sport.
Yeah, well, good day, everybody. So I think 2024, with the recent rule changes, I think everybody should bookmark it as the turning point in the NFL and how it is perceived and viewed. So I was not going to really weigh in on the rules changes because I just kind of get it and I'm not shocked. But then I saw, you know, two of my contemporaries that I admire a lot, Solomon Wilcox and Seth Joyner. And, you know, Seth is super outspoken. He's a purist. He loves this game and he played the game the right way. Solomon, same way. And I looked at this and then I said, let me just go down the rabbit hole and see if I can really make sense of it, other than the hand-wringing and the, this is not our game anymore. And I will say to you fellas, you're right. It's not our game anymore. And I think the sooner we realize that, the better off we'll be. Because this game, you got to see the big picture. Now, Bob, and I'm going down this rabbit hole. First, I see the kickoff rules have changed.
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind, they've been trying to throw the kickoff out of the game for most part of a decade, at least the last 5 years. They've done everything they can.
It's been 10. I remember talking with John Mara. This is over 10 years ago. And, you know, we were talking about player safety and he was on the competition committee. And, you know, this is in the aftermath of the retired players lawsuit and everything else about how to make the game safer. And I remember him telling me, you know, in our study over previous 5 years or whatever, he said, you know what the most dangerous play in our sport is right now? He goes, the kickoff return.
Mm-hmm.
Most severe head and neck injuries, ACL injuries. So they eliminated the three-man wedge. Then they eliminated the two-man wedge. Then they eliminated the wedge. And then you got guys booming it through the end zone. There are no kickoff returns. So they're trying to get the play back in the game. Because remember the extra point? You didn't watch it. Now you better watch an extra point. You got to watch kickoff.
Well, because here's the thing. And again, the banner from the league, the halo, is player safety. Sure. So you wanted to get rid of the kickoff. Now you want it back. And you are basically tying a defense's hands behind their back. They're going to say, okay, you guys line up and you get a 5-yard start, but only after the player has caught the ball. And so you can pre-script. And I hate to use the word script because the connotation in football is a little different, but you're literally pre-scripting whatever play you want. You can set up your angles. You can set up everything you want because it's a run play. It's a play. Like, so
I didn't look at it that way.
You got guys that are 5 yards away. It ain't like you got to run and get a block and they come to you. So you can really script your play. And so they said, it's going to be more exciting now. Well, why? When you wanted to get rid of it, is it now more exciting? Well, I can tell you why, Bob. I went down the rabbit hole, and there are a few things. And if you guys watching this or listening have a chance, go read The Overhang by Nate Tice. I've never read Nate and Warren Sharp, who I do follow. Both guys kind of give you some insight into where this league is and where it continues to evolve. And I asked myself, well, why do they want it? Well, here's the thing. Scoring is down. Decade. I mean, this is first time in decades. And you talk about rule changes, right? And I'm saying this because the league is, they're addressing the symptom and not the disease. And they're doing it under the banner of player safety. So you got scoring down, touchdowns are down, explosive plays are down, quarterback efficiency is down, the EPA is down. Oh, and by the way, underdogs are covering at less than 50%. Casinos don't like that. So I'm saying to my contemporaries, they're telling us what it is. I would be upset if they weren't telling us where they're going with the league. But when you have an NFL that has several interests to please, they've got their TV partners, which, by the way, if you're a TV show and your ratings are down, your show's getting canceled. And they don't want those checks to get lower, and they don't want the next negotiation to be from Amazon saying, I had the shittiest game on Thursday night ever, right? Al Michaels hates our guts. They don't want that, right? They want every game to have excitement.
Which is why they're getting a playoff game.
Exactly. You've got the Player Association, which is a whole nother conversation, but they've convinced, and Justin Pugh actually had, he put a clip up on his Health is Wealth podcast, and he gets it. He's a current player. He said, yo, the league has changed. We've sacrificed our health for wealth, meaning they'll take the safety and the money for that, what is it, 48.2 or 42.8% of the revenue that they get?
Sure.
They'll say, we'll play by any rules you want. You know, we'll stay healthy and we'll make the bank. So you've got network interest, you've got player safety / NFLPA, and then you got your betting interest. Your betting interest is your casino partners. Your biggest network partner is ESPN. They're in the betting game, right? You've got all your other betting partnerships, MGM, FanDuel, all those guys. Fantasy football is taking off, but when you got teams that have underdogs that cover less than 50%, I don't think that's good for business, right? And I'm not talking conspiracies. I'm looking at all of the data that these guys have given us, and I'm saying, wow, they're really addressing the symptoms, not the problem. Offensive penalties were up. You know, legal man downfield, stuff like that. And you can't get points anymore in the NFL. With all the rules they've made or changed to address lack of production offensively, they still can't get it. So 2024 is that turning point, in my opinion, because once you change the kickoff, something you wanted out of the game, you've creatively found a way to really make it a play. You can set up your angles, and I'm going to predict that the starting field position is going to be around the 40-yard line.
Well, think about it. If your kicker kicks the ball off and it's an outdoor game and it's downwind or whatever, and you're asking this guy to have to accurately kick a ball to land between the goal line and the 20, and he's going to knock it, he's been practicing and he's a really good kicker, and he's going to knock it down to about the 4 or 5 yard line, and you get a strong gust of wind, or you get one of those MetLife Stadium gusts that comes through, or Chicago or whatever, and the ball goes into the end zone, the ball's going to the 35.
Yeah.
Not the 25, the 35. Right. And if now, so what the return team, what the kicking team is going to do, right? They're going to want to directionally kick it into the target zone.
Mm-hmm.
Now you start flirting with the sideline. Well, that thing goes out of bounds, and suddenly now it's coming out to the 40-yard line.
Yep.
Well, with the way these guys kick today, you start at the 35, 40-yard line. You need two completions, two first downs, and you're in field goal range.
Right, but they don't want field goals. Field goals are up.
They want touchdowns. Points.
Red zone efficiency is at an all-time low. So all offensive production for everything they've done up until 2024, it has not helped the production. These are all symptoms, not the disease. So you address that offensively, and then you say, okay, I see it. And I'm saying this to Seth, and I'm saying it to Solly. We just got to accept it for what it is. I mean, because they're already telling us. If they didn't tell us, I'd be pissed off. But they're telling you it's not the same game. And it's never going to be, again, because aside from the kickoff, they said they studied 20,000 tackles. And the hip drop tackle is 25. The chance of injury is 25. I don't know what they said, percent or 25 times more likely to result in injury. 20,000 plays they looked at. I don't know what 20,000 they looked at. But then they're addressing a symptom again. The disease is player development or lack thereof. When this tackle has been around, they should look at 20 years of tackles instead of 20,000 plays, because I've seen, and somebody posted a clip, Big Blue VCR just posted a clip of OJ Anderson, his highlights, right? He must have run through about five of those hip drop tackles. And I'm saying, why is it that players can't develop a skill set on the offensive side? So instead of developing your offensive lines, your quarterbacks, it's easier now to just change the rules. And I'm not upset with that, because they're making a lot of money and the players are fine with it. And again, all of us, you know, traditionalists, we've got to change our way of thinking, because this is a different NFL. It's a safer NFL because it's more lucrative to their partners. The all the interests that they have to serve, it's more lucrative to them. More points means more eyeballs. Underdogs can cover with more points. You get a chance for the underdog to actually cover a spread, because you know the game is going to be exciting. It's going to be a lot of points, not just 20 points per team, 40 points per game. You know, decades, two decades, numbers that are so low. So I looked at this and I'm just like, hey, look, they just told us what it's going to be. And they're being very transparent about it. And for those who are wringing their hands, I'm saying, see it for what it is. They're making, it's a different product. And I am looking at this and I get these tweets, people randomly throwing stuff out like the game is fixed. Well, they got, you know, I would never say that, because I know it's not, and I know these players play 100%. But when you can script what a kickoff looks like, now humans still play the game, so they can't fix it at that level. But they are ensuring certain levels of success as they make the game safer. Right? So it is football entertainment. And we just have to look at it that way. I mean, they have partners that need to see results. You know, their TV partners need results. Their betting partners need results. How about this? The viewing audience. You want to know why fans are so rude and crude and crass to these players? Because they're losing money. Mm-hmm. They can't get their fantasy game going. So what used to be normal fandom, now they're MFing players, and you're wondering why. Hey, he lost me money this week. Well, no, you lost your money, but this is football as we know it now. So I just was like, I need to just say this to all the folks who are just can't get it, right? You can't hit a guy high. Now you can't hit him low. It's going to be a lot of missed tackles, folks. It's going to be a lot of penalties. And the ability to review roughing the passer. Well, he did land on him a little too hard. Let's throw the flag. You know, this is it. It's 2024 is the turning point. This is when the league became different. They're serving the interests of players, yes. Safety, yes. Financially, all of their partners, they're making sure that the game under the banner of health, quote unquote, player safety, they're able to make these changes and tell you why they're doing them. And if you dig a little deeper, you'll see the motive is to create a product that is more sellable, less violent, and more lucrative to all of their partners.
And yeah, because so they're – go ahead.
Go ahead. No,
I'm no, saying, I was gonna say, so it's not just, our league. It's a lead up to it's a lead up to 18 games.
Yep, it's a slow walk to 18. And because they're posting these stats and saying, here, injuries are down here. Now, guys, you're making more money. We can make even more money if you give us 18 games. And they're going to do it. It's a slow walk to 18. But I say all of that to say 2024, if you are – and the game has changed. And this is going to be controversial, Bob. And some people are going to call me crazy, but I'm going to say this. And it's no disrespect to any of the kids coming out in this draft. But if you are a quarterback and you're drafted from 2024 and beyond, you are not part of the GOAT conversation. If you have a hell of a career, you are not part of the GOAT conversation. You could have, because the numbers are going to be ridiculous. And you're going to, if you are part of a GOAT, it's going to be an asterisk, in my opinion. Because you're doing it under conditions that are so favorable that I can't compare you to Peyton Manning or to Tom Brady or to Brett Favre. And I'm not even talking about my era. I'm talking Ray Lewis's era, right? An era not so far away where those great players had to play under different conditions. And this is, I don't know if you watch J.J. Redick on the Sports Network when he makes the case analytically of how today's NBA player is good, if not better, than the golden years players. You know, he gets in these debates all the time, and he gives you analytics, and he tells you, well, you got players who are more skillful, that can do more things, and the court is more wide open. I'll make the opposite argument.
Court's not more wide open.
Well, I mean, they make the court more wide open because they shoot more perimeter shots and they have more guys who can hit them. I'll make the opposite argument. The players are not more skillful. They're just as skillful. They're less developed. And they have had the rules altered for success. So.
Correct. Right, yeah.
So I can't put you in a conversation as the greatest of all time as a quarterback. You're not going to – if you are, you're the greatest from 2024 forward. But you're not an all-time because the conditions for which guys' numbers are still standing today, you're going to eclipse those because – you're playing under favorable conditions. And they're telling us. So I don't have a problem with it. But let's just see it for what it is. They have made the game. They've addressed the symptoms. The disease is the lack of development. And it probably takes too much to develop quarterbacks and linemen and all these other positions in order to get the result that they can get by altering, by changing rules under the banner of player safety. And players are making more money. So as Justin Pugh said, health for wealth. They've said, okay, we're willing to take a safer game and make more money as opposed to keeping some of this other stuff and we're making less money.
Well, I mean, I think the good news in the health for wealth is, as you know, with some of your former teammates having started in the NFL in 84, and then you see members of an organization that played before that, the players are definitely walking away from the game in much better health than they did ever before.
In healthy pockets, too.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. And listen, the owners are making all this money. Let the players make the money. But you talked about, you know, the lack of scoring and all this other stuff and this trade-off that's going on. But you keep talking about the lack of development.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just changing all of these rules, and I don't think this is going to affect the player health all that much. And in fact, it might improve the player health a little bit. Don't you need some more practice time?
Yeah. But they'll trade it off for more money, Bob. But here's the other thing, too. When they're evaluating these quarterbacks, and I've talked to a few personnel people that are not in the Giants building, you see all of these, and I'm not criticizing the Twitter guys that post these quarterback evaluations, and they just keep saying, oh, he's got great arm strength. Look how he drives the ball here, drives the ball there. You know another reason why the productivity is down at quarterbacks? Because they can't read zone defenses. Man coverage is where coaches can script it for them. Pre-snap, motion. Once you know it's man, here's the guy. Pick out the weak link and throw it to him. Throw it against him. When you put cover four out there and you clog the zones up, go take a look at Carolina's quarterback last year. Look at all the young quarterbacks. It's probably why Justin Fields' development's a little slower. And it's all these young quarterbacks, cover four, cover six, anything that puts a lot of people in the area, you've got to be mentally sharp, and you've got to have an idea of how you want to do it. And that's why this class going forward will never be Drew Brees, because Drew Brees could manipulate. He was a surgeon against zone defenses. That's part of the issue. So as guys are posting these Caleb Williams and all these other kids, J.J. McCarthy, go back and look and see if they played against zone defense and how accurate they were. I saw one clip, and it probably applies to all the other first-round candidates coming out, a clip of J.J. McCarthy. And the young Twitter guy was posting, oh, look at his arm strength. He's driving the ball in this window. He's driving the ball in this window. Most of them were incomplete, but he's showing arm strength. And most of them were against zone defense. And you'll probably have faster reaction times in the NFL out of zone defense players than you do in colleges. And there's no doubt in my mind that J.J. McCarthy is prepared to be a pro. He's coached by one of the best developers that you'll see in John Harbaugh. So I'm not criticizing him, but I'm saying it's worth taking a look as everybody is salivating over these throws, and you're showing them these college clips and these guys are running wide open, right? Yes. And they're, you know, manipulating man coverage, which is great. But the offset, because the defense gets paid too, you might want to look and see how they perform against zone defenses. Because when these coaches, and this might be a reason why certain quarterbacks move around, because in these meetings, they're not talking about man coverage. They're putting up on the board, what's your read in cover four? Cover two, where's the vulnerabilities of the defense? Cover six, where's the vulnerability of the defense? Cover zero, you have how much time and where you're going to go with the football? These are things that these young quarterbacks are going to have to answer, the questions that they're going to have to answer, because Bryce Young struggled. All these young kids are struggling because they never had to play this, right? And when we put the highlights up, we glorify the wide open throws. He was accurate on a deep ball. He was accurate throwing to his right. Ball's a little weaker on the sideline route to his left. But the football aspect of this is defense is going to say, let me see if he can read the zone. And if we make him check it down, then it's a victory for us, which also plays into the lack of production, explosive plays in the NFL. So, I mean, that's what I got. I would encourage everyone to go read. It's The Overhang by Nate Tice. Let me see. I'm going to put this up. It's on Yahoo Sports. There you go.
Zoom in on it, folks.
Nate Tice and then Warren Sharp. Most of you follow Warren Sharp because he's Sharp Football. He has a similar. They both both of those guys printed these articles sometime in late October of 23. But, you know, guys, it ain't the same NFL, and I'm okay with it because they already told us what it's going to be.
I want to, you know, the owners' meetings came. There was talk about, you know, John Mara was interviewed, and he said, hey, we're looking at quarterbacks. If our guys want to do it, you know, go have at it. Do what you're going to do. And then, of course, some people who are just very uneducated, like there he goes, meddling again. meddling.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that have microphones that speak for a living that are fans that just wound up becoming broadcasters and host talk shows.
Mm-hmm.
They have no idea how pro sports works. Owners of NFL teams will regularly meet with their general manager and their head coach during the course of the season.
Yeah.
Status update, injury update. What do you think about the team? What are areas that we can fix? What are you guys looking to do to attack these problems? You've been in a front office when you were, I guess at the time it was called player development. You were a player development with the Jets. It's John Mara is not meddling. He's doing what an owner does, overseeing his product on a week-to-week basis, no different than any other business. When an owner, especially in a business where the owner is on the premises on a regular basis,
sure,
where there's an actual product, not financial, and even in that world, just share with the audience a little bit of what really happens. And like, I'm watching this stuff and I'm like, oh, the John Mara's meddling again, talking about we're looking at quarterbacks if we like the right. Like, he was just being asked questions. But this is not a giant thing. This is something that happens thing. With everybody.
You know what a meddler looks like in football? It's the guy named Jerry Jones who says, I meddle. Jerry Jones tells you, I'm picking players. Me and my son are picking players. So that's what a meddler looks like.
But he's the GM, so he gets
that's
to
what
meddle.
I'm saying. He owns the team and he can get
Daniel
to
Snyder was a meddler.
A meddler, right. When you have, and fortunately, when I was with Coach Parcells, I had access to all, I was required to be in all coaches' meetings. And so I got a chance to see all of that. And when you have owners that come in, the owners ask, what do you need? They have to go give owners an update on injuries. Owners talk to medical people. But most owners, not going to say all of them, and I know John is in that majority, they're there to support. It's in their best interest that the team wins. If they could pick players, then they wouldn't need a GM. You know, I would say for the majority of the time, and I've been affiliated with the organization 30 plus years, 40 years now, in one way, shape, or form, all I've ever seen is John get out the way of decisions that maybe he didn't even agree with. You know, the Phil Simms situation, where Wellington, it hurt his heart, right? It is just, these fans don't quite, and they don't want to get it, the ones that just keep saying this, because if he says he supports his GM, he's meddling. If he doesn't say anything, he's behind the scene clandestinely pulling the strings. It's not how it works. And as evidence of some of, not, I'm not going to say all of you, but I'm getting a few of these idiotic tweets just showing how little you know about football. I mildly engaged the other day when someone posted Micah McFadden, you know, he had 100 and some tackles. That's up by, you know, 50 tackles from the year before. And someone says, well, he misses too many tackles. Well, he's getting better at that, and he's going to be fine. Then another guy says, well, he played every game. Don't you think they need more depth? Don't they need to plan to replace him? Because how likely is it that he's going to play every? I'm like, that's the freaking objective. Like, don't you understand football? Or did you look at the roster? Or did you even watch him play? Guy's pretty darn good football player. And he's between he and Bobby O, the best thing that's happened to that position in 10, 15 years. But everybody has to have something to say. Then another guy says, well, I'm looking for a downhill thumper like Von Johnson. I'm like, this ain't even that NFL anymore. Keep looking. They don't exist. They can't exist. That type of play doesn't work in this league anymore. Well, I want a guy who's a three down linebacker. I don't want a first and second down guy. Well, they got safeties for that now. Because when they put four or five wide receivers on the field, they pick on the linebacker. And I'm just like, guys, just take a minute before you just start reactionarily posting things. And I know I don't like to do this every podcast, but it's just some people are just getting dumber and dumber. And I just don't. And I think it's on purpose. I think people just say it just to try to get a reaction. I think John Schmuck gave me the best advice. Like don't get your algorithms favoring these, because every time you react to these goofballs that, you know, they just start, the algorithm starts sending more goofballs your way. And I'm just like, you're probably right. Yeah.
All right. Obviously, as we get closer to the draft, we'll have more intel, insight on what's going on with the Giants. But this was a broad scope sort of view of things. And
Goat no more, 24.
Goat no more in 24. How do we like to end it, Carl?
Tell a friend to tell a friend.
Believe in Giants.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.